WVOX. Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where Brandy gets practical, here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Folks, for those of you joining us for the first time, this show is all about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. This is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. So whether or not you're going through a transition, are you concerned about your brand or someone else's brand, please do not hesitate to call us at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or if you're email inclined, give us a call at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. You're listening to VOX. This is Dr. John Tantillo. This is Brand Talk. And if you heard some giggling in the background, you are correct. I have in the studio great brand, somebody who I have worked with over at Fox News. And his name is TJ McCormick. You've seen him on Fox. You've seen him on CNN. You've probably seen him on MSNBC. He's all around. And we're going to talk about his brand, and we're going to talk about what brands mean to him. And he's quite a brand. But before we do that, and not only do we have this great interview with this great brand and friend, I have to be honest. I have to be very honest. He's a very dear friend of mine. And and I hope that that's not going to get in the way of him being as grand as he always is, because he's just such a wonderful person to be around, as well as a great talent to appreciate. But before we do that, we always like to talk about brands here, and I think it's none other. Important as tomorrow's day, the Thanksgiving brand, and perhaps TJ and I will reminisce about as youngins what Thanksgiving meant to us. But let me just say that Thanksgiving is one holiday that is most truly and powerfully ours as a nation. July 4th, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Veterans Day, these are all important holidays, but there is nothing quite as American as Thanksgiving Day. And at times, unfortunately, I think we can lose sight of the very essence of Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is not simply about giving thanks for what we have. It's about giving thanks for our country that has enabled us to earn what we have, keep what we have earned, and live in the way we live, because of its great and enduring foundational strengths. And these foundational strengths include our Constitution, our commitment to property rights, and the rule of law. And they include the respect for the individual citizen. These might seem like core American features, but it was never inevitable that we have managed to keep them for 200 years plus. Bottom line, Thanksgiving is about giving thanks for the reality of America and the fact that year after year, for more than two centuries, we as a people have been able to depend on this country as a peaceful and promising place. Lincoln seemed to have this in mind when, in the middle of the Civil War, he invited the nation to set aside a day to give thanks. However, it wasn't until 1941 that Thanksgiving became a federal holiday. The Civil War might seem a strange time to give thanks, but not if you were giving thanks for the very strengths that assured Lincoln that his country would endure past the tragedy and that his best days still lie ahead. And here's the part of what, and here's part, I should say, of what Lincoln said, and I quote, "In the midst of a civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict. Let's face it, gratitude is a kind of discipline. It requires perceiving the good by recognizing all that could have gone wrong, all that you should never take for granted. To be grateful is to make a positive choice." In Lincoln's invitation to give thanks, he made the point that as bad as things obviously were, the important things like order, the law, and peaceful society have been maintained, and liberty, the lifeblood of our nation, had not been disrupted. These are no small things, but he knew that we could easily overlook them if we didn't make the positive choice to see them and to celebrate them. And a few years ago, a 1795 Reed Edge United States penny was sold for $1.3 million at auction. And across the top of the penny, the words liberty are written. And what other country's citizens can look back past 200 years and identify with the ideal of liberty and know that the promise of liberty has remained interrupted? No European can, no Asian can, no African can, no South American or Central American can, but an American can. And so it's this day that, which to me is the ultimate brand, and I'm just so proud to be here talking about this wonderful brand and say that business and the business of holidays are always easier when you keep marketing and branding in mind. And so we have 310, my good friend, my good brand, my good colleague, T.J. McCormick. Welcome, T.J.
Thank you there. Brand good Talk doctor.
On Brand Talk, where branding gets practical.
Yes.
So, T.J.
Yes, sir.
We know each other for a while.
Yeah, quite
What's
a while.
What's your brand?
You know what? I'm a guy that has been in sort of a brand. I've been in a transition.
Oh wow! Ooh. Hey, now you take. My God,
I did that all on my own.
I told you, you were good.
I'm in a transition. I have been transitioning my brand, as it were.
Okay.
In the sense that, and by the way, thank you for having me in.
And,
all of the lovely words you said are absolutely true.
you're a legend in your own mind.
Absolutely.
And those are the best kind of legends to have.
You're darn right, baby. It really is a real treat to be here. My brand has had a few incarnations, I think, and I'm always curious. You know, when I put it this way, John, when I make a move in my career, I do often wonder: does this fit me? Is this the appropriate move at the appropriate time? Does it jibe with my brand? And I often think, what would Tantillo say? You know, mm-hmm. What would John say about this move? Anyway, but to address your question, you know, for more than 20 years, I was a stand-up comic. And my brand was that I was the luckiest guy in the world. That was my brand as a comic.
Right. What do you mean by that?
Well, most comedians out there who do material about the wife, the girlfriend, you know, relationship stuff, mm-hmm. and most comics you can, we tend to label them accurately so, you know,
sure.
Relationship comic, a prop comic, a one-liner. I was a guy who told true stories about my life, and the vast majority of those stories had to do with my at one point fiance and now my wife Andrea, and I found myself, because I was telling the truth, I found myself in a wonderful, unique spot, which when it's organically unique is a wonderful thing in show business, especially when you're in show business, when you're an artist, when you're a comedian, you want to be unique. At least if you're a comedian worth your salt, you want to be unique.
Well, and by the way, that's exactly what you have to do to be a successful brand.
Yes.
Make yourself. Go brand yourself, as
yes.
I like to say.
Yeah, go so, brand yourself. Exactly.
And not only in terms of you as a personality, but whether or not you have a business,
right.
Whether or not you're talking about you as a person.
Right.
Anything that we do in terms of promotion,
yes.
It's uniqueness. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And so what happened was, because I was so overwhelmed by the beauty inside and out, my wife is a stunning woman and happens to also be arguably the most wonderful person I've ever known in my life.
And I can attest to that.
Yes, and she sends her love, by the way. I found the material that I was doing was not the haggard husband, was not the, she's driving me crazy, she never shuts up, or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No. My act was about you people are looking at the luckiest guy in the world.
I love it.
How does this monkey get this beautiful girl?
Yeah. And the reason I like it is because it's you. And I have a thing that I always talk about to thy own brand be true.
Yes, and yes. And John, and you know what, John? Here's the beauty of it. Since I've known you and I've embraced the notion of branding, and you are definitely someone who has ushered in. You are in a very, very small cadre of people who do what you do that can say that you are on the forefront of this 21st century term of branding. You ushered it in and put made it a part of the lexicon.
Yeah.
And the thing is, John, is that what I've learned after being with you for these last couple of years is that having a brand is absolutely essential. And we all actually have a brand. We all are a brand, whether or not we know it. And I think the best brand is the one that you sort of, and this is just my opinion, is for me, is the brand that you sit back and let take its own form. Mm-hmm. And then you assess. And in other words, it needs to be organic. The more organic and real your brand is, the better suited you'll be to maintaining that brand, altering that brand, molding it, shifting it, shaping it. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And that's TJ McCormick talking about brands on WVOX. 1460 AM on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk.
Yeah.
You are making me feel so young, and so good.
I make you feel like songs have been sung.
I want to tell you.
Yeah.
No, and you see, the whole idea here with a brand is for you to not become something that others want you to be, although you want to satisfy the need of your target market.
Sure.
But you have to be, in fact, you. And I can remember, and you and I know this, when producers say to you, what you should do is not wear the glasses or wear the hat,
Right.
Be what they want you to be.
Right.
And then what happens is that you have to, at one point, draw a line in the sand and say, no. And I had that happen to me where I missed a national show because they didn't want me to wear the hat.
You're kidding.
And I said no, and I won't tell you the name of the show. And I got heck from my public relations agency. So how could you do that?
Wow.
I said it just wasn't my brand.
No.
And anyway, but we have a caller.
Ooh.
I think on the line. Do we have a caller on the line? Caller, what's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
My name is Alden. I'm from.
Oh, Alden. Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay, where are you from?
Maine.
Maine, okay. Where the women are strong, the men are good-looking, and all the children are slightly above average. Am I right? Do you have a question for TJ McCormick or myself? What do you got?
I'm about ready to launch a few products. It's a healthy energy cookie brand, and because it kind of correlates with the holiday season, I'm wondering if I should do some sort of special promotion or introduce special holiday flavors.
I think that's a great idea for next year. I think it's a little too short time period to try to do that this year effectively. What you might want to think about is maybe Easter might be coming up, or maybe you want to do a spring, or maybe you might want to do a 4th of July. I think you might want to do, if that's the idea, is you got to give yourself, when you're doing any sort of a effective branding or marketing tactic, you got to plan at least a year in advance, and so that it doesn't get messed up, because the worst thing you can do in life is make the mistake. Although sometimes you just got to pull the trigger and do it. If you can plan, I think it's better, especially when you're investing other people's money. So what I say is, I think that that's a great idea where you can piggyback off of the season to get people to initiate a trial. I think you know that the most effective, because I've talked about this on the show a number of times, the most effective tactic that one can use, sales promotional tactic, is sampling. And that's, I'm going to talk a little bit about this in a winner or loser, TJ, and Alden, about Katie Couric. Mm. And she's going to be our winner of the week.
Oh.
And the reason I think that she's so good is we're getting a little bit of a sampling of how good she really is, as a result of that debacle she did where she was on the CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it was so
she was
not
out
her.
Of it. It's not her brand.
It just was not
she's
part
not,
of it.
She's not Cronkite.
So the idea is that everybody was saying, oh, will she ever do it? Including
right.
myself.
Right.
Will she ever be able to make it? But what's interesting is the decision makers over at ABC gave us reintroduced her and gave us a sample of how good of a interviewer she is with the Regis
right.
situation. And this coming Thursday, she's going to be doing an interview with Lady Gaga
right.
Thanksgiving night. I just think that this is wonderful, so that people are in fact sampling. So getting back to you, Alden, what you want to do is, first of all, you should know everything you want to know about people who eat cookies. Okay? That's the first thing. The average number of cookies that they eat, when they eat it, do they like it with milk? Do they like it without milk? What time of day? You got to know, before you introduce this cookie thing, you got to get to do your reconnaissance, and you got to do your research to make sure that this is in fact you understand what it is that that your market
hey,
wants.
Hey, Alden, are you still there?
Yeah.
Hey, Alden, by the way, are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not on speakerphone.
Okay. So listen, I'm just wondering. I'm sorry. I'm very particular. Here's the thing. I'm on John's show. I'm on John's show, and I'm doing housekeeping. Here's the thing, Alden. What I'm curious is, are you doing like a local launch? Are you starting this product locally? Are you going to local retailers, like, you know, convenience stores and little delicatessens? Is that where you're going to, or local health food stores? Because you say this is a diet cookie, right?
Yeah, it's a diet cookie that tastes like a traditional cookie.
Okay.
It's organic. It's vegan. It's,
perfect.
It's gluten-free. So yeah, it's a local launch, and it's already been tested in stores, and it will be tested in the university in the coming weeks to do focus group testing to get all the marketing dialed down and all the flavors.
Wow.
But I was thinking kind of as a test with this launch, perhaps trying out some new flavors for the holidays, maybe to get set up.
For next year.
No, he's thinking for next year.
Because right now he's in the test phase. So he's thinking, while I'm at it testing, why don't I see if, you know, whatever, gingerbread works, so that next year, so that come July, when I'm ready to ramp up for my holidays 2012, I'll know gingerbread was a smashed in the test phase.
You're good.
Am I right, Alden?
You're very good, yes.
Hey, I'm telling you, if you got a career in marketing, too. we can have some fun together.
Wow, Alden, man, I'm always impressed. You know, my wife's an entrepreneur. My wife owns dance schools for kids, and she, I guess doing what I've done for a long time makes me sort of a small business unto myself. But for someone who goes and takes a risk, and someone who puts it all out there, and I tell you, man, just the notion of getting something tested and coming up with packaging and mass producing cookies, you know what, man, this is what it doing. What you're doing is what is going to get America out of its rut. You know what part of your brand is right now, Alden? Is the bootstrapping. Part of your brand organically, to me, my opinion is, this is something that you have started on your own from whole cloth in the midst of an economic tsunami. And you are doing what Americans need to be confident enough to do. Entrepreneurialism is what's going to ultimately pull America out of the rut that we're in. So you, whether or not you know it, not only are you contributing to your community, but you are setting an example for other people to have the nerve, take that shot, get up early, stay up late, and get it done. So congratulations.
So do you agree with TJ McCormick? Is Alden picking himself and picking the states up by their bootstraps? Why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. This is WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. You're listening to TJ McCormick, John Tantillo on no other than Brand Talk, where branding gets personal and practical. There we go. He's laughing.
He's the best.
Oh, come on. Now cut that out.
If you are email inclined.
Are you making fun of me?
No.
Are you talking
to
me?
No, sir. No, sir.
Are you talking to me?
I would never make fun of you, Mr. Dizzo.
Well, you see, Alden, I'm so sorry. I hope we answered your questions, but you got to understand that I am a frustrated comedian. I mean, if I was born in a different time and with different parents, I think I would have gone into stand-up comedy. And I guess that's why I am TJ and I and all the comedians. Remember Nick DiPaolo?
Oh, sure.
He's another Westchester guy where we used to all be on the strategy room at Fox, and we used to have this thing, and we used to go through comedians.
Yeah.
And I got some comedians that we should go through
in
terms of personal brands.
Yeah, sure.
And, like Jimmy Kimmel and all of those, but Alden, I don't want to forget about you. Are we helping you out here, or are we just doing too much shtick?
Oh, you're doing all the shtick, and you're helping me out at the same time, and you're in good hands.
Thanks. We hope that you're in good hands.
I say test the holiday flavor during this. I think it's two birds with one stone. Just from a practical standpoint, yeah, you'll never get it on the shelves in time, but at least you'll know, does candy cane work? Does gingerbread work? Does it work if you decorate it like Santa's
good call.
Hat? Yeah, you know?
Good call.
Yeah,
that's
do it
a
now.
Good call. Okay. All right. Yeah. Is that good?
That's good. And I do have another question.
Go ahead. Make it quick, though. We're running out of time.
Oh, sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Good. All right. So another thing that I'm doing is a charity involvement. I'm donating
100%
of profits after all of the expenditures have been spent. So 11% to charity.
Yes.
I'm wondering if charity helps drive sales. A marketing perspective and a branding perspective.
Well, it's an excellent question, and what you have to do, the general rule of thumb is that they should be highly correlated. So that if you're doing food, maybe what you might want to do is something that Meals on Wheels. Or something that is going to be
school lunch program, Big Brothers Big Sister, whatever, an after school, yes, you're right, something that has to do with provide, like you said, Meals on Wheels. Perfect, John.
But the idea here, the idea is that I'm going to sound like a marketing guy here, which I am, is that the promotion, not only must it do good, it should support the brand. And that's what, once again, it's all about research. You know what they say? When they say it's not about research, It's about research. And so that's what you, I think you have to work on. And I know you're a research-oriented guy, Alden, and I think that that's something that you would do. But most definitely, I think that you're onto something in terms of the getting right right at the get-go.
What are you calling it, buddy? What are you calling it, Alden? What's the name of your product?
The product is actually called Rawgasms.
What's it called?
Rawgasms.
Say it again.
Rawgasms.
Right.
That's now, awful. That's terrible. No, that's fabulous. That's really good. Oh, yes. My gosh.
Well, and it's targeted to a younger audience. Like I said, if it were targeted to the old fogies like myself,
right.
There might be a little resistance in the marketplace.
Right.
But for that target market, because, you know, in branding,
right. You
never want to offend anyone.
Well, of course not. But there's going to be people walking around Maine saying, "Boy, you know what? Yesterday I had 4 Rawgasms, and I'm full, and I feel great, and I lost weight. How'd you lose weight? I had 3 or 4 Rawgasms a day.
Rawgasms,
right?
Okay.
Rawgasms.
Okay. So we
get, right.
Don't you got right. what you got to
right.
do is pronounce the R.
Raw. Rawgasms.
Rawgasms.
Okay. I tell you what, buddy. You know what? You should be in touch with me. I'll help you write some of those bits. There's some great commercials right there for you, Pat.
See, on this show, people even promote themselves right over the air.
Have one for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Multiple Rawgasms.
Oh, you're unbelievable. Okay, thanks, Alden, calling in. If you'd like to give us a call, we're at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. This is WVOX 1460 on your AM dial, and you're listening to Brand Talk with TJ McCormick and John Tantillo. And we're going to go for a break. And when we come back, because we're having so much fun, we're going to be doing a brand winner and loser. We're going to do Did You Know That? And more TJ McCormick.
La la.
World and national news 3 times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Don Matheson. More than 42 million Americans traveling this hot Thanksgiving holiday. That's according to AAA.
People hitting the road will be paying almost 20% more for gas, which has reached a national average of $3.42 a gallon. Travelers going by air and train will be forking over more dough, too. Airfares rising 20% from last year.
Fox's Steve Brown reporting from Chicago. The Yemeni president is transferring power to his vice president.
The summer Ali Abdullah Saleh narrowly surviving the bombing of his compound, and after 33 years in power, he's now accepting international pressure to quit. 8 months of protests and a mounting death toll prompting Yemen's neighbors to broker this power transfer.
Fox News Radio's Alistair Wanklin. The latest economic data paints a mixed picture. Positive indicators, incomes and consumer spending increased. Negative indicators, unemployment claims rose while durable goods orders fell. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County and the vicinity for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll see overcast skies. Areas of showers will continue. Some could be heavy at times. It should taper off, though. By the later afternoon hours, high temperatures will fall through the lower 50s into the 40s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, giving way to mostly clear conditions through the overnight hours. Lows will fall back into the lower 30s, mostly sunny. Tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, highs into the lower 50s. Plenty of sunshine into the middle 50s on Friday. Saturday, mostly sunny, highs upper 50s. Looks like temperatures near 60 on Sunday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr., reporting for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Cloudy, 51 degrees.
They're coming.
I just want, like, one Thanksgiving without all the insanity.
The invasion of the relatives.
They're going to be here for 24, count them, 24 mind-numbing hours.
Just keep smiling through it all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
From VOX.
WVOX.
We're back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX Radio here on the AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and you're listening to myself, JT, and my dear friend, TJ McCormick. Talk about somebody who can get that mixed up, TJ, JT.
Our dear friend, Lauren Green at Fox.
Yes.
Still, to this day, I'll walk in a room and she'll say, JT, wait, TJ. She's been doing it for the last 2 years. It's so cute when she does that.
She is such a wonderful
girl. Is she lovely?
Another dear friend.
Yes.
Another dear friend. If you listen or watch Fox, she is
senior religion correspondent at Fox.
Yes, and my other life, that's one of the things. We'll get into that at another time. But anyway, if you like to put in a call, if you have we're talking about personal and personality branding, and why that's so important is because what you can learn from a personality brand like a TJ McCormick and how he went and branded himself, you can do that with your own business if you're thinking about, because mm-hmm. most small businesses are very much like celebrity brands, aren't
Absolutely.
They? And why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or email us at doc@brandtalkradio.com. Now, I hope you don't mind, but what I wanted to talk a little bit about,
sure.
and just chime in here, mm-hmm. is that my winner of the week is Katie Couric.
Right.
TJ.
Yes.
And as I had mentioned, mm-hmm. Everyone said that she was finished because I thought she made a mistake by going
right.
over to the CBS.
As did
Evening
I.
News.
As did I.
I mean, it's just so pompous and so un-Katie-like.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and by the way, the name of the show is Katie.
Oh,
I mean,
is that syndicated?
Yeah. Okay. Now, the problem that I have, mm-hmm. she's a great brand.
Yeah.
She is a great personal interviewer.
Sure.
She's really good on that part.
Sure.
And I said she was the winner because this interview she did with Regis Philbin,
right.
and now she's doing one with Lady Gaga this
right.
coming Thursday.
Right.
This is an excellent example of sampling. So
people
are going to now be reminded of how good she is.
Yeah.
So that this show can roll out. So you're a little tentative on her.
No. Well, I'll tell you what it is. What's interesting is you and I have had conversations. John is very, 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 very protective over his friends. Well, over his friends, period. And John, the good doctor here, is also very protective over our brands. And John has had conversations with me that I think dovetail with what happened with Katie Couric and what she is now sort of remedying,
yes.
if you will.
Oh, wow.
John has said to me more than a few times, because in my other, in one of my incarnations, in one of my roles that I play these days, and as I said, I'm in a brandzition, I do political commentary of a conservative nature. And it always will be fun, or at the very least, and it will be 9 times out of 10 funny. I come from a light perspective, but I still get across my conservative politics, and I do it on Fox and other places, as John mentioned. And there have been times when John said to me, he said, you know what, kid? You wanna, and you'll remember saying this to me, you know, because John's brutally honest when, because we love each other.
He's we love each man. Other,
yeah,
and
it's he can be, and I'd be frustrated if he wasn't brutally honest with me, but John says to me, maybe you want, you definitely do some politics, but maybe stick to the middle. Don't commit so much one way, because you don't want to offend half your potential audience.
That's right.
As the comedian guy.
Right.
And
by the way,
yes,
you are excellent.
Right.
I mean, really, I went to see you.
Yeah.
And you did what you did.
Yeah.
And it was not political, even
right.
though it got political.
It eventually did.
Band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that part, I thought, was the strongest part, and I said, I got to tell this kid.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I go, and I say, I don't want to say this.
Don't hate me, TJ. I'm just telling you the truth. And I said, please, please, please. And I got over it eventually. But
now
anyway.
Cut that out.
So what happened was, so here's what's interesting. Katie Couric, the chirpy little cherubic, little chipmunk, little thing that she is for 75 years on the Today Show. America wakes up with their little cutie patootie. They have their coffee with Katie and her little interviews, and she would have her moments. And look, she buried a husband. She was the first to do a colonoscopy live on. She did hard news, but generally speaking, her brand was the cutie in the morning with your coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Then she goes and she takes over the CBS Evening News and has probably her landmark moment, her milestone moment, when she, in my estimation, ambushes and makes a mockery of Sarah Palin, not only mm-hmm. a politician, but a fellow woman.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Couric didn't, she made a major departure from her brand and mm-hmm. very possibly offended at least half of the audience.
She got political, and exactly, proving my point.
Exactly.
And that's why we don't do that here.
And that's why, right, and that's why I say that I can relate to what, and so
sure.
Now here she is going back to her strong suit mm-hmm. in, I believe, in spite of some of the stuff that she did at CBS. She went
right.
from, you know, all hard news all the time. Yeah. Now she's getting back, and now the show is Katie.
Right.
So there you go. She's yeah. back in her wheelhouse.
You're listening to WVOX 1460. That is the mind and voice of TJ McCormick. Comic extraordinaire. So will you please, and if you want to give us a call, we're at 914-636-0110. Any questions that you have? Suppose you might be thinking about being a comedian. Maybe you want to ask TJ how he started. And by the way,
yeah.
how did you start? But first,
yes.
914-636-0110. Or email us at doc@brandtalkradio.com. So how did you start in this business?
I started the traditional way. I first fell in love with funny when I was about 4 or 5 years old, right about this time of year. Starting at about 3-4 years old, my father would always make sure that we watched March of the Wooden Soldiers with Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, my favorite.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, it was on. And Stanny and Ollie made me fall in love with just the concept, the notion of funny. And my dad, who you have met, John, and who
sure.
sends his best, by the way, he knew I was going to see you today. My dad instilled a love of funny, and that eventually sort of, it grew and it modified along the way until I was about maybe 8 or 9 years old when I ever saw George Carlin on Saturday Night Live. My mom and dad let me stay up very, very late as a young tot. And I remember seeing George Carlin. And for the first time now, I saw this fascinating thing where I saw a man speaking and the audience laughing. There were no props. There were no gags. There were no gimmicks. There was no partner. There was nothing. It was a guy talking. Now, I had no clue of what he was speaking about. I was 8. But he spoke, they laughed. He spoke, they laughed even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hooked on that concept. And then, fast forward about 3 more years, about another 2.5 years, all of a sudden, Steve Martin comes on Saturday Night Live, and he is an amalgam of everything funny.
Mm-hmm.
It was the jokes. It was
right.
the props. It was the goofy. It
right.
was the rabbit ears and the arrow through the head and the banjo and everything. I fell in love, and I said, that is it. I must do that.
But when was the time, TJ, and you're
yeah.
listening to WVOX, and that's TJ McCormick here on Brand Talk.
1460 AM.
That's right.
Go ahead.
When did you say, I got to do that on stage, or I
yes,
have to...
That, then, when I saw Steve Martin, I was about, I say, I when I saw him on TV, I was about 9 or 10, and then, he walked away from stand-up very abruptly.
Sure.
For my 11th birthday, my dad took me to see Steve Martin right here in Westchester, in Tarrytown, New York, a place that is no longer there. It now is the Marriott. It was the Westchester Premier Theater, and I saw Steve Martin live in person on stage. And when I first saw Steve on Saturday Night Live, I said, that is what I must do. I must be a stand-up comic. I want to make people laugh on stage. And it was my entire passion and my life all through grammar school, high school. I was a terrible student. All I cared about was practicing my autograph, making people laugh, making teachers laugh. My goal was to make the teacher laugh. If my buddies laughed, great. That was gravy.
Sure.
But that's how I got through school. I graduated from Archbishop Stepanak High School in 1986, June of 86. By July of 86, I was doing open mic nights and amateur nights in New York City. First place I ever took the stage is a place that I think has probably been a pet store and a pharmacy ever since. It was a tiny little place. I don't know where it was in Queens, but it was a tiny, tiny place called The Ambiance. And I'd be honest with you, this was when comedy was rock and roll. It was the late 80s and comedy was everything.
I know that because I used to go every night to catch a rising tide.
Because you could go every night, and every town had an open mic night and bars and pubs. This was a little tiny place called The Ambiance in Queens. I knew it was near the subway line, and so I go, and it was a tiny, tiny, tiny room. The sound system was a microphone connected to a guitar amplifier.
Yes.
Literally the room held, I'm not even kidding, maybe 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I first did it. And here's the interesting thing about stand-up. Another thing is very traditional and very typical. You ask most comics what happened. The very first time I went on stage went fabulous. Absolutely through the roof, bafo sacco, as Variety would call it.
Yeah.
Second time, really good. Not nearly as good as the first time, but good. Mm-hmm. Third time, in the toilet.
Right.
Awful.
Why?
Awful.
Why?
Because all of a sudden, it was real. All of a sudden, I knew what I was getting into. First time, what the heck?
I had nothing to lose.
I had nothing to lose and didn't know what I was getting. Never done it before.
Right.
Second time, I hope it goes as good as the first time. I hope it goes. And when it kind of didn't, all of a sudden, that feeling.
Sure.
Third time, awful. And the fourth time, awful. But the thing was that it's the one thing to this day, John, other than applying myself to my marriage, it is the one thing that I stuck with stronger and more diligently than anything else.
TJ, what made you decide to get back to pick yourself up and brush yourself off and start all over again?
For the fourth, the fifth, the sixth
time?
Yes. Because I knew that I had to do it.
I knew that.
Yeah. And I also instinctively knew. See, there's a certain romance. There's a certain beauty to the pain of bombing. There's a certain, as a stand-up comic, it's a rite of passage that whether or not anybody ever told you that, you sort of know that what's happening to you will either work out or it won't. But there is a certain, romance is not the right word, but that's the best I can do right now.
Could I say learning curve, or it's the Wizard of Oz? You have to learn it for yourself.
Yes, you have to learn it for yourself. But again, I think it speaks to the show business lore, the whole idea of doing a show for three drunks and a lady of the night,
right.
On a Sunday night. You know, I would do shows. I would do every Sunday night. There was an open mic night in Yonkers, New York. I would go do it. It was a place called Shooting Stars in Yonkers. I would do a show at Shooting Stars at like 9 o'clock. And this was back when people used to pay. Audiences would pay to get in to the amateur night.
Right.
I would go do that. And then I get in my car and I drive down to Manhattan and I go and do Rodney Dangerfield's club. I do Dangerfield's Sunday night at 1 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I would do the late, late, late show if they let me on.
Right.
And I invariably, I would bomb there too.
Right. Right. Well, you know what you're bringing up, which is something that if you have a small business or thinking about a small business, is this concept of failure.
Yeah.
And picking yourself up.
Sure.
And trying it again.
Setbacks happen. It builds character. It's a cliche, but it's true.
It's so true. It's so
and
true.
And it's the only way you learn. It's the way you organically learn.
Yes.
You can take all the classes, you can do it until you actually put it into practical use. You know, it's never ever going to really sink in. And you have to do it and you have to trust yourself and you have to, you know, lick your wounds, but know that the silver lining is you will definitely the next time that situation comes up where you take a setback, the next time that thing comes up, my wife, Andrea, who is listening right now, it turns out. I love you, Andy. And I don't know if Millie's listening too, my little 3-year-old. And Chloe from England is there too. My wife, she would be the first to tell you, her short suit, one of her Achilles when she first opened her first dance studio in Los Angeles was dealing with the toxic moms.
Oh, yes.
Those couple of moms that would invariably pop up. And it was something she didn't want to offend them. She didn't want to lose their business.
Sure.
And And it would really hamstring her. She really had to try 15 ways from to Sunday to try to figure out. And she ran up against some real prickly ladies out there in Los Angeles. Very, very entitled moms out there who very rarely hear no.
Right.
Yeah. And anyway, and I'll wrap this up for you. What started off as Andrea's Achilles heel, something that she feared. It is now one of her, right now, Andrea could give a clinic. She could give a small business class in how to deal with disgruntled or toxic customers or clients.
Right.
She's brilliant at it now.
Right.
And that's a prime example of going through that baptism by fire, baby.
Right. Well, you know, you are, see what I'm trying to do, and you're doing it so well, is trying to take your experiences as a performer and as an entertainer and taking the lessons that you've learned and so that people who are listening can implement those things. And I mean, they're so
and as an entertainer, you know, as an entertainer, I had the benefit of all my market research happen right in front of me.
Right.
I didn't have to have people fill out a questionnaire. Right. I didn't have to have, how was your experience? I knew firsthand immediately how things were. Right. So the interesting thing is, though, John, is that instead of then as a business, where a business would go collect their questionnaires and all that stuff and their comment cards and then have a team meeting, have a powwow, a postmortem, and then reassess, I would do it on the fly.
Right.
I would literally, if the relationship stuff wasn't working, which it always worked anyway, but if the relationship, then I would, if it wasn't working, boom, I transition over to doing impressions. If that didn't work, then I tell a couple of jokes and try to get them back. So on a slower scale, you know, comedy, small business, it's the same thing. You have to assess, just like a football coach, you know, at half, there's a reason that halftime, it's not just for taking a break. They go into that locker room and they say, okay, look, that offense isn't working. Their guys are, okay, so we're going to switch over here. Let's move the X's and the O's. You have to every once in a while call a timeout, have a team meeting, and say, look, that strategy didn't work. Let's adjust. Let's go on the fly. But have faith in yourself.
Well, you're listening to T.J. McCormick here on Brand
Talk. Boy, you're listening to me a lot. I'm yapping.
Oh, that's great. We love yappers. We love your brand. That's T.J. McCormick, WVOX 1460 AM Brand Talk. This is John Tantillo. Now, you know what we do here in addition, and we're going to get to the loser in just a second. But before I do that, I like every week we have a Did You Know That?
I love that you invented this, John.
Okay. This guy's such a...
I loved... No, okay. I remember when John was... He said, what do you think about this? I'm going to do... Did you know? I was driving through Connecticut, and I kept losing the signal. And John was telling me this concept, and the phone would drop, and the poor guy would have to start all over again every 7 minutes when I would get a signal back.
Now you know why I love this guy.
Let me tell you something. This is one of the best things in radio. All right? So give the people, everybody, make sure you, whatever you're doing, make it quiet and enjoy this and play along with John. See if you can figure this out. This is brilliant stuff. Go ahead,
okay,
buddy.
Okay, well, the intro. Okay, this is the intro that we do each week.
Okay.
DJ. This guy's unbelievable. I told you he was a great brand. I told you it was going to be a great show here on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. So, folks, now it's time for the perennial crowd favorite, Dr. John Tantillo's Did You Know That? Did You Know is where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Some say luck is more important than intelligence, but for one Luther Samjian, persistence was the key. Because of this determination, he is responsible for a famous machine that many of us use every day and scores of other innovations. Samjian came to America in 1920, a refugee from political strife. He planned to study medicine, but his love for innovation won out. Beginning in 1934, he started inventing and never stopped. His last patent was issued just 7 months before his death at the age of 92. Samjian invented everything from medical ultrasound devices to golf simulators to meat tenderizers. One of his most famous creations was the self-posing portrait camera. the technology behind what you and I know as the photo booth. But his greatest success was seen as a failure. You see, he was so far ahead of his time that almost 40 years had to pass before his machine was recognized. He filed 20 supporting patents and even had a bank field tested, but people simply weren't ready. Years later, others got the credit for refining the device, but many SMGN's groundbreaking features and principles remain. So does the name, the Automated Telemachine, or ATM. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
And we're back at WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. So what did you get out of that?
I got that you can make anything sound slightly naughty. A photo booth. it was like one of those newsreels about the blacklisting of the 40s. It turns out he had ulterior motives. He was feeding information to the communists.
Are you making fun of me?
Not at all. I'm praising you. I think it's brilliant. I think what it shows is that, you know what, man? If you stick to what you know, if you stick to what you're good at, great things will come. Yeah. It's about stick-to-itiveness. Yeah.
Well, I see. I think that what's interesting, it took 40 years.
Yeah.
And most of us would give up.
Mm.
And the whole idea of entrepreneurship. And by the way, everybody talks about Steve Jobs, right?
Right.
Of what a genius he was. Everybody forgets he was a failure. You know,
he failed a lot.
I mean, he lost his company.
Yeah.
And he made a lot of flops.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happens is he learned from his mistakes.
Yeah.
And then he had that sixth sense because he learned from it. And that's
right.
And that's what you have to do when you're a stand-up comedy and what you did, TJ.
Yes.
And that is you're always refining, always making your brand better, but always appreciating what that brand is.
And, you know, I guess back in the day before the terminology of brand came up, back then it was about, you know, what's the character that I am? What's my voice as a comedian?
Right.
And once I really struck that luckiest guy in the world thing,
right?
Once I really embraced that and realized that I'm gonna be a comic that is doing material about being a happy, lucky guy, or not necessarily happy, but I was talking about
sure.
Everything else fell into place so much easier from that, from how I could write for myself, the vehicles that I would choose as an actor. It helped other people serve me as well, which is a fascinating thought. That's interesting. Isn't that interesting? The better that I did my brand, the better that other people, my representatives, my agents, my managers, potential producers of TV shows for me. Similarly, if someone out there has a vendor that they use, if they outsource certain aspects of their small business, the better that your brand, the more organic and solid and the more true you are to your brand, the better even your vendors, your third party people can serve you. They'll know you inside and out and your brand just like you do. So it's easier for everybody involved, from your customers. They'll know right away if you've got it for them or not, or they'll at least have you in mind. Say, boy, you know what? You know who may have that? Thus and so may have that. Because it's second nature. So, you know, the more you're true to your brand and the more you have confidence in it and you keep going back to that same well, you'll find that everybody can benefit from that.
Right.
You know, yourself, your own, your employees, your clients, your customers, your third parties, your vendors, your outsource, all those people. You know, your advertisers, you know, your John Tantillos, the people that you bring in to be your consultants, your marketing, your branding people like John Tantillo. You know, if you sit down with somebody who knows their brand, right, John?
Yes.
You know, how better for you than to what better situation for you to enhance somebody's brand as somebody who's already onto it?
You're listening to TJ McCormick, and this is Brand Talk on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. And let me tell you what gets my goat. I hate the term. I've been told I should never use the word hate, but I can.
But it's okay.
It's my show, and I'm going to use the word
hate.
Yeah. makeovers. I cannot stand makeovers.
Gotcha.
Because to me, a makeover is external.
Yes.
While a brandover, that's the term.
Mm.
You come inside.
Right.
You find out who it is you are inside. So if I were advising you,
yeah,
I would say, TJ, in three words.
Right.
How would you describe?
You've done that to me before.
Have I?
I never had a good answer.
I did not know that.
I did not. I never had a good answer. TJ, you talk for a living. Give me three words to describe yourself.
But I mean, if that's what our listeners can do,
right?
On the personal level, right. on the career level,
right.
And then if they have a business
mm-hmm.
level,
mm-hmm.
that's where we get confused. And I also would like to say that we're throwing around brand and the term brand,
right.
And what also gets my goat is that people use the brand and they think it's simply the name. And it's much more than the name. It is what comes to mind. What are those three words that come to
mind? Well, it's like your book. People buy brands, not companies.
That's
your book, right?
Yes.
Right?
Well,
it's not just the name.
It's not the name. It's what comes to mind. And then how do you promote it?
Okay.
And that's key because most people really don't know the best way to promote themselves.
Right.
And they need help from other people, but
mm-hmm.
but yet they can get and generate comments.
Right.
But just as long as they don't do
mm-hmm.
what people are telling them,
right.
unless it feels good to them.
Right.
And it's funny because my producer, Jonathan, and I talk about this all the time. It's called real marketing.
Wow.
As opposed to cosmetic marketing.
Yeah.
And I can't believe it.
Oh, we're done.
We're
not done.
We are done.
Go to Penny Lane Dance Academy for all your child dancing needs.
And that's TJ McCormick. Another show finished.
Wow.
Hope to see you next week. This is Dr. John Tantillo saying it's always easier when you keep your brand in mind.
Yeah.